Well, I think you get the gist of that. Fermentation has become a buzzword among foodies. But Sharon Flynn's been fermenting food since her teenage years and will attest to its great benefits for the gut. Her book, Ferment for Good, has just been published, and she talked about it with Veronica Matheson.
Sharon, fermenting seems to be the buzzword at the moment. How did you discover it?
When I first started doing it, I didn't realise it was under the category of fermenting. It was just another food technique, a cooking technique for me. Later on, I was making bread at home and wasn't really happy with just the packet yeast, you know, that you just flick in. And I was like, well, where does this come from? Who's the yeast farmer? And looked for that, and some of my baker friends pointed me in the direction of moist yeast, you know, buying it in the block.
Yeah.
And that was really cool. And for a few months, I felt like I was really making bread. And then after a while, I was like, no. Who makes this yeast, you know? And so at the same time, I had Sandor Katz's book, and it talked about catching the sourdough mother from the air, from the flour that you buy and from the air that you sit the water and the flour in, you can create your own sourdough mother.
Now, Sharon, I've got your book, Ferment for Good, in front of me, and it says Ancient Foods for the Modern Gut. So, yes. I mean, fermenting is something that's been going on for forever.
Yes, that's right. We've been fermenting food since, I think, before we had fire. So we've been finding ways to get our food and preserve it naturally for so long, and it's really only the last perhaps two generations that it's dropped out. Since pasteurisation and refrigeration became common, we stopped fermenting.
I love the way you say it's the slowest kind of fast food. So fast food has been around with us forever.
Well, yes, because if you make making sauerkraut or a pickle, it's really fast to actually put it up. So just make the sauerkraut, you know, cabbage and salt, and put it in a jar or a crock, and it will take weeks to ferment. But once it's ready, you can eat it straight away. There's no other preparation you have to do. So you can grab it, whether it's carrots or pickles, you know, you can grab a pickle and eat it. So that's why I call it fast food, because it's there. It's like ready to eat. You don't need to do anything else to it.
So did somebody teach you what to do, or did you just, was it trial and error?
I learned different techniques from different people all around the world, actually. I've been moving around ever since I was born. My dad's in the army. So, but when I was, as a young adult, I moved to Japan, and I was there for nearly 10 years. And initially, I lived up in the country, made friends with some old ladies because I didn't have any friends to begin with, and they pretty much showed me miso and natto and things like that. So I learned from them, and then a few other things I just learned by doing. So pretty much taught myself that. But then eventually I started seeking out other people and learned from them too.
So do you feel healthier now that you eat a lot of fermented food?
I suppose I do. I feel like I've got, like, the other night I felt like I was coming down with a cold, and straight away I got home and had some of my garlic honey fermented. And the friend of mine down the road called me and said she wasn't feeling very well, and I brought that to her. I do feel like I've got vices that work, old-style grandmotherly potions that I believe in.
Well, so many people now are talking about fermenting.
I think we're talking about it all of a sudden because cooking and preparing foods in an older style, more traditional sense, has become popular again, which is great. But also, at the same time, research into our gut and brain connection.
Now, your business has really grown, but you started off, it was virtually for you a hobby, wasn't it?
Yes. So it's been a lifelong hobby, really. Since I was about 16, I've been interested in different ferments, but I never would have put them under the category of fermentation. It was just, I went through different stages. There was a point when I was finishing high school that I thought I might go into winemaking, and now I look back, I'm like, oh, I was interested back then, but someone told me, don't do winemaking unless your parents own a vineyard, you know?
Yeah.
So I didn't bother. But I have always been tempted in that direction. But it wasn't until my daughter got really sick. We're living in Brussels, and she got ill, and we couldn't find the cause of it or the solution. And a friend said to me, oh, you know, now you need to fix her gut after all the antibiotics. So gave me a list of foods. And when I looked at that list, I was like, huh, what do you know? That nearly everything on there has been a hobby of mine at one point.
Yeah, that's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's when I was like, oh, fermenting. Yes, of course. Duh. That's my thing. I love it.
Originally, you started as a hobby and you started selling to friends, and then it just grew like Topsy.
I often say it's an accidental business, or it grew organically, and it's definitely been hard work. And as soon as I decided, oh my gosh, I want to do this, I was very focused in making sure that I kept it the way it started. You know, so everything we make now, no matter how much we grow, we'll make it the same as I made it in the very beginning.
Yeah,
as though the way you'd make it at home.
And you started in Melbourne.
I was living out in Woodend, which is the Macedon Ranges. Mm-hmm. And I started out there. Then we brought it into the city because the space became available and we were growing and we needed warehousing and things like that. And so I moved into the city, but then we've gone out and taken the factory out to Daylesford because we found the perfect spot.
And I think you've got a little bit of a romance that's grown with the business.
Yes, I did. I was very... It was very lucky, I think. At one point we got busy and I had a lot of orders and I was working at a school 3 days a week, and one of the other teachers said, you know, there's a dad here that used to be a chef. You could get him to come in and help you with your processes. Okay, that would be a good idea. He came along and started helping, and in the end we were both single parents. It just blossomed into we moved in together. Yeah, now we've got five kids.
What a lovely story. So between you've got a blended family, have you?
Yeah. I have three daughters and he has a son and a daughter.
Okay, yep. So it's a little bit like the Brady Bunch.
It is. It's very lovely.
And nice. Food-wise, I mean, you can virtually sort of what you can ferment almost any food?
Yes. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, really dark leafy greens. I mean, cabbage is obviously a perfect one, but the darker green it is, I feel like the more chlorophyll is in it and the less you would add to a ferment, because it does get chunky and it's quite bitter.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you know, beans and anything, you can ferment. And if you can find it, and every country has their own specialty.
Yeah. And fruit too?
Yep, fruit loves it when we think about wine.
Yeah, of course, of course.
There's a lot of alcohol, you know, in fermenting as well.
That's the obvious one, because, in fact, you do actually make a beer, don't you, a ginger beer?
Yes, there's a ginger beer. And there's country wine where you're just using fruit to make pretty much a wine.
Yeah. And are they sort of alcoholic, these drinks?
Slightly, yes. The more sugar you add, the more alcohol you're going to get.
Sharon, the book is wonderful and it's a lovely sort of feel about it. It's quite an old-fashioned sort of book, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Well, that was Sharon Flynn there talking with Veronica Matheson about her book, Ferment for Good.